How are we doing? Are we on?
All right.
What a great looking group you are. Wow. So good to be here today just to celebrate God's love and to think about this Passion Week and know that He has given all for us to receive all. Would you stand with me as we open with prayer and just give thanks unto the Lord, shall we? Lord God, we are so blessed beyond measure. What a great joy it is to know that we can have you in our hearts, that you are with us always, that we can serve you with faithfulness, not only because of our desire, but because of your help through your Holy Spirit. We're thankful that we can rejoice in you on this special day, to recognize your coming to this earth to become our sacrifice, that you are here in our hearts because you died and rose again, and that we have the forgiveness of sins, which does not last for a day like it once was, or a year through an atoning sacrifice once every year, but it's eternal, that we can know you and that you are able to be our righteousness for all of eternity. We give you thanks and praise for this special day, and we just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On this special day, if the people didn't shout, the rocks would cry out. And I was talking about that in Sunday school class. It was prophesied. It had to happen. I don't think rocks can get saved. Anybody want to contradict that one? But it was so important that the people shouted, Hosanna, that Jesus said, my Father would make the rocks cry if the people wouldn't do it. It was that important. It was a very specific moment of time that had to be fulfilled. Well, we're going to sing Hosanna willingly so the rocks don't have to. Although it would be kind of cool to see a rock shout. All right. I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. A generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, I see a near revival stirring as we pray and see. Hosanna in the high. You might recognize this next song. It does have a new chorus added to it, but it's one of those songs that just is so timely. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for the sacrifice you gave to save a wretch like me. Wow. Beyond comprehension, and yet it's so true. Thank you for the sacrifice, for setting us free from the bondage of our sin. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray over this portion of our service. This is where we normally will focus on the offering and just give thanks to God for the blessing to give. Let's just pray for that, shall we? Lord, we're so thankful that we can give. It's a difficult world, and certainly financial challenges are very real. And our budgets have changed because of the higher expenses and fuel costs and food and everything else involved. And yet, Lord, we know that as we're faithful, you bless, that we can give from our first fruits and know that you will take care of your children. We give you thanks and we give you praise for the blessing of giving. Do what you've called us to. I just pray your blessing on each and every one that's able to give, whether it's online or in person. We give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we continue with worship, you're welcome to come and put an offering in or go on your app or go online and do so that way as well. This next song is one of the hymns once again that he paid it all. Jesus did that. He paid it all. And I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, I now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life from up the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life from up the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for paying the price to make us clean and pure before you, Lord God. To be holy as you are holy. It's an amazing, amazing gift, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving your Son. What a tremendous sacrifice it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deep
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there, till it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Jesus. When the path is daunting and every step exhausting, I'm not alone, I'm not alone, no, no. I feel You draw me closer, all these burdens on my shoulder. I'm not alone, I'm not alone, You brought me to this place. Alleluia, You carry me every day, carry me all the way. Alleluia.
love has moved me to the foot of your glory. I'm not alone, I'm not alone, I'm not alone. Hallelujah, you carry me every day.
The irony, Lord, of celebrating Passion Week and recognizing that you came to die so that we would receive a free gift, something we can't earn, something that we can't receive on our own merits. But the irony is when we say yes, it costs us everything. The free gift that costs us everything, and you called us to carry our own cross, that we would die to our flesh, that you might live in us and through us, to give us new life, to be holy, to be pure, to be clean, as white as snow. An incredible promise. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for carrying us to the cross, but also, Lord, thank you for giving us the strength to carry our own. We love you. And we will live for you. I live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord, for your love. And now we pray as we continue. Our hearts and our minds will be open to your truth, to your words, to inspiring courage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I don't have my microphone. Anybody know where that one is that I normally would preach from? I forgot to even look for that. I can use this one for now. Unless it's maybe underneath here. I'll check. Okay. line right there. It's funny, I always look and say, yeah, my mic's there, it's good to go, and then I didn't today. It's like, oh, the one day I don't look and it's not there. That's funny. How we doing? So that last song, I came across it picking out music, and I'm like, oh, I love this song, and I don't think I've ever led this song. And so I grabbed it anyway and thought, oh, the guys will help me, and turns out nobody's led this song. And I was like, whoa, Lord, we need help. And so I didn't completely 100% botch it. But I didn't exactly do it as correctly as I did in practice. But it's a great song, Carry Me to the Cross. And actually, as I thought about it, it was a Daniel song, meaning Daniel Curtis, who grew up in this church, who's attending another one with his beautiful bride. When he left, that's one song that he had done, and I was like, really cool to see it. And I'm like, oh, I wish Daniel was here, because he would lead it so much better than I just did, so... But I pray that you are inspired and encouraged in worship. Worship is important. It's a way of expressing love. And there's different ways of doing that. You can do it with the way we do here with a full band and with vocals. But you can also do that with your worship music. Use whatever techniques as far as technology has for yourself. You can sing a cappella. You can sing off key. You can grab a guitar and play your own music. But I do think it's an important part of our faith expression is song. And I'm one of these weird people that doesn't listen to music all week long and then sings on Sunday. Anybody else like me? You're strange? Okay. We got one other strange person. All right, great. Well, you and me, Tom, we're strange together. And it's really irony. The irony of it all, I know Levi kind of teases me about it, but I love singing and doing music, worship music especially, and yet I don't listen to music. Isn't that weird? I mean, come on. So I'm going to just real quickly just go over a couple thoughts. Doug, did I take a spot for you? I couldn't remember how we had talked about things. Doug's our new hired associate, but technically doesn't start until June 1st officially. And so we're just kind of playing it by ear as we go. And so I wasn't sure if I stepped out when I wasn't supposed to. But if you had something, I could give you that. You're good? Okay, we're good. I want to recognize a couple of our family members that are visiting here that we miss dearly, Greg and Pastor Emma. I don't know how you explain it other than my spirit just leaped with joy when I saw them. That's the best way I can say it. And I just love you so much, and it's so good to see your faces. I know that you're still with us in spirit always, and your family is here, at least some of them are, and we're excited about that continued connection that brings you back. And so, anyway, I heard some good news, bad news. Those of you who know Dorothy well, you know her heart, her love for children, and her just faithfulness, and you know that she recently lost her husband to sickness, and she just informed me today that she is going to be moving soon out of state, and so I'm sad because she's family too, but I'm also joyful for just looking at her face shine when she tells me. It just glistened with joy, and I'm like, well, that stinks for us, but I'm happy for you. So it's coming within, you know, sometime end of May, somewhere in there, middle May, 22nd of May is when she's going to be here for her last Sunday. So I think hopefully we can put something together, just say, hey, some kind of a thanks and a, I don't know, party, whatever. I'm not like party animal type, but I like parties, especially when we can say our goodbyes. So anyway, that's not in the bulletin. Those things, obviously, those are just from the heart. You have your bulletins. You can read. Most of you can anyway. Oh, I was thinking of the babies, of course. They can't read, right? So Easter practice, for those of you who are a part of that, make sure you stay after today, and we're going to get to it as soon as possible. So eat your snack, whatever you brought for lunch, and we'll get on that practice. And then next week we'll be at 8 a.m. There will not be Sunday school, by the way, for those of you who are Sunday school attenders. But there will be some rolls served, caramel rolls and coffee. So come for the fellowship and make sure you're part of that good eating time before Easter service next week. Kids leadership meeting is this week, and I already mentioned Easter Sunday. Board meetings next week, not this week. Ladies coffee, same. So those details are there for you. And I was not able to get my message onto the bulletin. It ran before I completed it. I was close, but I just didn't get it done in time. So you will have to use your app or just take notes on the backside and have a blank sheet there. So we good? Yes, announcement. You sure can. Pizza, pizza. Next 2 weeks, only 2 weeks. All right. So get those Little Caesars pizza kits. They are very, very good, and they do go to a great cause, helping our students get to camp. Right now, the early bird cost, I believe, is $190, and then it goes up to $210, and then it goes up to $250, depending on when you get registered. So the kids need a $50 registration to lock in the lower rate. So make sure you guys are doing that if you haven't done it already and you're planning to go to camp. And then raise some funds for the youth, for the middle school and senior high camps, and get those scholarship funds coming in, because that's what it does. It helps with the cost. How many know that it's challenging and difficult to come up with $200 for camp? So it's a great thing that Lou has done very faithfully over the years to help with that fundraising. So thank you, Lou, and for Levi and Jen helping organize and lead that as well. Are we doing kids' church? We are. And so I'm going to dismiss the kids to go with MJ and enjoy your time learning about God. While they're going, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Verse 42 is where I'll start. It's good to have visitors here today. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Hopefully there's a few online as well that are joining in that haven't been here before. Welcome to our service this morning as well. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and I will give you this forewarning. You just experienced the triumphal entry Palm Sunday service. We did it in song. Because what I'm preaching isn't technically in line with the theme. It is actually wrapping up the messages I have been preaching from Francis Chan's book, Letters to the Church. And so this may be the last one. I can't make a promise on that because I might take the whole book and put it together in one message. We'll see what God says. But for now, this is the end of the book. The challenging of the status quo. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is church. This is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. How many like that description of church? I like it. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So we're doing that. We're listening to the word of God, hearing it expressed. The teaching of what God has inspired based on the scriptures. That's a good thing. Fellowship. Who doesn't like fellowship? Come on. I know some of you are kind of like, you like to be on your own, you know, out in the backside of a hill somewhere, privately, separated from the world. But we all need fellowship. Amen? Even the recluse needs fellowship. I saw another couple back there. Ray and Sandy, God bless you guys. Miss you. Great to have you here as well. So, yeah, fellowship is great. We enjoy doing Fellowship Friday. Tina and I were just talking. We need to get that back going again for the calendar year because we like to hang out together and just be with each other. So fellowship is part of what church was, the breaking of bread. That's a nice way of saying eating food. Anybody here like food? A few of us like food. Yeah, if I got to, you know, how many would rather eat those things that the military eats? I haven't had one. What are they called? MRE. That sounds like a bomb.
Okay. What's the thing that you weren't supposed to blow off on 4th of July? It was illegal, but we did it anyway. What were those called? M80. There you go. That's what I think of. MRE and M80, man. Blow those two together. That'd be awesome. Well, breaking of bread. It's food. So when they gathered for their fellowships, they ate. And you'll find that that's a theme that brought about our church plant for dinner church. And I'm hoping that that continues to grow and expand. We've had some really great services as of late with a large number of people coming, more than in the past. And I'm excited about what it's accomplishing for the kingdom. Just saying, hey, we love you. God loves you. And so if you haven't been a part of dinner church, you haven't attended yet, I encourage you to at least check it out one time. It's Wednesdays at Jefferson School up until summer break. We haven't got a plan figured out for what we'll do over the summer. But at the Jefferson School, be there at 6 o'clock and get a meal and listen to a great word and have that fellowship and experience it. So that's verse 42. Verse 43 says this, "And awe came upon every soul." Why was there awe? "Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Well, now we're meddling a little bit. I mean, it sounds okay to come together, listening to the word of God being taught and preached. It sounds great for the fellowship side. And who doesn't like food? But now we're looking on the supernatural of signs and wonders were taking place. Miraculous things were happening in the midst of the new church, the believers of the way. And they were coming together with their stuff. Everyone was taken care of. Needs were met by a bringing of things into a fellowship that was just unique, honestly. And day by day, verse 46 says, daily attending the temple, together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So this was a regular coming together. This was living life together. We're really good about coming together for an hour and a half or so, depending on if you come to Sunday school or not. It might be a little longer. Could be less if the preacher doesn't get too long-winded. You know how he likes to go on. I could add a few more points to my message, I think. Should I do that? Should I preach out of spite? Should I do that? No, I wouldn't do that. No, not at all. Yeah, we got practice. Sorry. We'll have to do that another time. But they came together regularly, living life together. Wouldn't that be just a beautiful thing? That our community would see our love always. Daily, our interacting, our fellowship together. It's hard for the world to see the love that we have for each other when we only love each other here. I mean, I'm not saying that our love isn't sincere, because I believe it is. I really do believe you love each other. But loving your person that's sitting next to you and across the aisle and up front versus back, loving our family here, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing, but that is our testimony to the world. How is that going to affect our world when they don't see our love? When we don't really live life together, we just see each other once a week for a little bit of time. And that's not the way they did it. That's not the way God added to the growing family. They said, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day, or daily, those who were being saved. People were like, wow, this is amazing, this is special, this love is real, this fellowship is life-changing, I want some of that. I want to be a part of that family. I want to be part of this loving community of followers of Jesus. And so it did that in their communities, and exponentially the church grew. They didn't have to do evangelism. They were evangelism. We're trying to facilitate acts of Christ-like demonstrations in a very unnatural way. And it's not been successful for the most part. But when you live life together for the kingdom of God in fellowship that's constant and always and never separating, it has the tendency to impact the world. And that's how the early church began. So we're going to be challenged with some new thoughts. I'm not saying we're going to change everything that we do and call it church. I am going to challenge us to make some changes about what we think church is, though. And I don't know how God is going to lead this. I really feel strongly that we're going to experience some growing pains. We're going to be experiencing some things that we've never had happen before in our lives, and it's going to be so awesome and so good, but it's going to be difficult for some. And I'll explain as we go on. Let's pray. I need God's help. Lord, this is your word. This is your challenge. This is something you've stirred in my heart for quite some time, and I couldn't put it into words. Thank you for Francis Chan, who put it into words. And while I don't agree with every single thing he has said and what he is doing, I don't disagree with it either. I know that he is doing exactly what you called him to do in his ministries, in the ministries of the people he is being led to and being a leader for. And I pray that we will glean the truth that you have instilled in his heart and how we can apply that same truth in our own hearts, in our own culture, in our own lives. We want to do your will, Lord. I want to see your will be done, not mine, not ours as individual people, but your will. May your words today inspire us to something new and fresh that is life-changing, not just for us, but for our community. This community that we so desperately want to reach out to with love. Help us, Lord, to hear your words in Jesus' name. Help me to speak them in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's a conversation that happened with the author of the book and some of his friends that were missionaries. And I shared some of those thoughts already, but here was the thought that came up. And the question was asked, why are we training missionaries to build churches when most of the unreached live in countries where it's illegal to plant a church? I want to say that question again. Grasp the full meaning of the question. A missionary is questioning their methods of training. Why do we do this? What is it that he's targeting? He's saying that we're teaching our missionaries how to plant churches, but the places they are going, it's illegal to plant churches. Why are we doing this? They can't congregate in large buildings around a preacher. Why would they do this if they can't do it in that country? And here's the thing. The underground church, or the house church, if you will, is the fastest growing church in the world today. It's exponentially increasing the numbers of followers of Christ. Not the church that we're doing, not our style of ministry and church building, not the American style and ministry of church building, but the ones that are in the places where you can't congregate. They're exponentially growing the church. Lives are being changed for eternity, and they're doing it through the house church. Now, here's the thing. It's out of necessity that many meet in small groups rather than large gatherings. Yet they are growing. To say the church in America is struggling is an understatement. If you've seen the statistics, it would basically ruin your day. When you try to measure the church plants versus the closings of churches. Is it possible that the way we do church is to blame? Here's an example that was used from a businessman to illustrate the point of what he was trying to say about the house church versus what we're trying to do in our culture of church. In 2015, the Hyatt hotel chain, that's like a upper class hotel chain, had 97,000 employees. That's a lot of employees. The Airbnb, the Air Bread and Breakfast, anybody hear of Airbnb? A few of you have. Have you ever used Airbnb? I have not. Some have. Cool. I heard of it, didn't really know much about it. Airbnb had 2,300 employees. 97,000 versus 2,300. The Airbnb chain currently today has 4 million listings. Without building a single facility. Anyone with a smartphone can rent out a room in their house and become part of Airbnb. I don't know what this is, and it kind of sounds a little sketchy to me, honestly. Like, really? I'm going to, yeah, come on in. Who are you? Don't matter. Give me some money. Stay in the room. That seems a little weird to me. It's a little bit like that the car one. What's the car one called? Uber. Yeah, I thought that was a joke. Yeah, right. Like, people are actually going to do that. Booming business, right? I'm just behind the times, I guess. But think about it. 4 million listings today, they have 2,300 employees. They don't have a single building. But you can find a place to stay through Airbnb. Far more rooms available than the Hyatt hotel chain, by far. It far exceeds what the Hyatt hotel chain has available and at a more affordable rate as well. American churches are closing their doors at an alarming rate, especially in the rural communities. We know this personally. We do know this. We've experienced it with our friends from Weibo. Yet nearly every home has space for a small gathering. Every home has space for a gathering of believers and lost people. And so the first point of my message is this: church B&B? Maybe we need to start thinking differently about what we're doing. And I am like, this is tearing me up. And you're going to understand in just a moment why. First of all, church B&B would be the same model that the Airbnb is accomplishing, and successfully, by the way. And if you want to be honest, the third world countries, places where they don't have the affluence, they don't have the stuff, they don't all drive their own cars, they don't have any of the amenities that we have here in America, they are in such a different state of their own culture and poverty, if you will, and yet they are outgrowing our churches exponentially because of the house church, the underground church. Very much like Airbnb is outpacing any hotel chain in the world. Why? Well, first of all, buildings have limits. Buildings have limits. Look at this building and be thankful. I love this building. It's great. It's a wonderful church. Amen? It's built of brick and cinder block. It does not remodel easily. There are limits to what we can do with this building. If our services were to exponentially increase, we basically have a plan to build a fellowship hall someday. That is our hopes. But there's only so much we can do with this property. And I shared last week a on-the-moment inspirational thought that came in my heart and my mind, and I instantly said it before I even thought about it, and I said, we're going to have to go to 2 services in the next 2 years. I still believe that's from God. That, it hit me that quick, and I just said it. And then I thought to myself, whoops, why did I say that out loud? But God, I believe, was speaking. I believe we will see a growth. I believe we're going to see people getting saved. I believe we're going to have an impact in our community like we've never had before. But I don't think it's going to be by doing the same thing that we've always done. God is calling us to change the way we do church. And I don't know what that's going to look like completely. I do believe that he is going to say, you can still have Sunday. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. What we do on Sunday morning is special. And I don't believe God is going to say, you can't do this anymore. You got to only do house church. But I do think he's going to challenge us to do more and different than what we've ever done. And this will become more of a celebration coming together of the believers than it will be for only coming together once a week for believers. And I hope that you understand my heart here. And I'm speaking from the heart. This isn't written down. But I do have this. Buildings have limits. And here's the deal. It limits a church's growth. We don't have enough room for all of the converts of the unsaved in our community. As a matter of fact, if we were to have all of the churches that preach the salvation message have an exponential increase of reaching lost people, none of us have room for all the people that will get saved. We don't have room for that, everybody. It's not feasible. It's not practical. It's not possible. Can you fit 5,000 people into the rooms of every sanctuary in this community? No. It's not going to happen. However, everyone has a home of some kind, and we could easily, within our own members, be able to facilitate small group gatherings of all the people that get saved. Pretty incredible, isn't it? So it limits the church's growth, but it also has this. Limits the church's ability to decline. There comes a point where you can't afford to pay the bills anymore and keep that facility running. The cost of heat, electricity, etc. And pretty soon, if the church declines, you can't keep the building. And so buildings have limits. And here's a sobering thought. Salaries create limits. You pay me to be your pastor. Through your offerings and your gifts, it comes into a budget from this church that pays salaries and wages. 40% of our church's budget is in payroll. I believe the total payroll budget from all that get paid through our ministries was $110,000 last year. Thank you, by the way. We do feel blessed. You take care of your pastors. Thank you. However, in a very sobering thought, what could we do with $110,000 that was put towards wages? Now you know why this is a difficult message for me to say or to speak. Because, ooh, am I actually encouraging the thought and the idea that maybe we should all just have jobs and volunteer our time? That's actually what Francis Chan does. They don't have a single pastor on salary. They have 40 pastors. When their small group gathering reaches 20, they split and start another 2. And when they reach 20, they split and start another 2. And when they reach 20, they split. They never get above 20 members of any church cell group. It's totally out of this world thinking. I'm like, what? They avoid any pastor ever having a large church, so there's never any ego issues. Hallelujah, praise God. All the pastors say amen, amen. It's radical. It's out of this world, and it's working. Now, God has been challenging me on all of what I've read before I even read it until this one. This one is tough. And I'm sitting there reading this book saying, Lord, how am I supposed to end this book on this? This is like, I should be pleading the fifth, or I'm going to incriminate myself here. Because literally what I'm suggesting is, take my job away from me and let's just all volunteer to have church and we don't need pastors. Well, I'm not actually saying that. I kind of like being a pastor. But I don't know what God's asking of me. I don't know what he's asking of us. But I'm being very challenged to be open. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want us to do as a church? It's a challenge. And I believe that God is going to call us into somewhat of a hybrid idea of what Francis Chan is accomplishing through his ministries. And he's not saying, even, and I will say this in his book, he doesn't say, I'm not saying everybody should do what I'm doing. He didn't say that. He goes, but everybody should hear what I am doing and pray about it and see what God would have them do in light of this truth. And that is that we don't do church the way church was meant to be. How can we improve being a church in our community? And I want to embrace that challenge. Let me ask you this question. What if your invitation to come to church from that neighbor, from that friend at work, from that person that you've been praying for, what if your invitation to come to church was a gathering in your home? How would that change their response? How would that change your invitation? Basically, his challenge is this. Going small is our best shot at getting big. There are an infinite number of churches in every community. They're called homes. Now, you're like, man, that's too much. And that's where I was sitting at thinking, oh, Lord, really? I got to say this stuff out loud? Yes. And so here's some of the thoughts that came with it in the last parts of this book. Anybody here have a typewriter? Somebody just posted on Facebook recently, and I don't remember who it was. Does anybody have a typewriter? Because we're going to want to use it for a... Yeah, Amanda, thank you. So she puts out there... I'm like, are you serious? I got a typewriter for graduation. And it was really cool because it had the erase tape. You know, you go, oops, I hit the wrong letter. Ch-chink. And it pulled that right off of that page. How many loved the erase tape when that came out? That was awesome. I was taking typing class with my best friend, and we didn't want to do accounting. So there was only two options, accounting or typing two. I already had typing class, and I was pretty good. I was the fastest typer in my class. And so I thought, yeah, typing comes easy. It's an easy A. So Mr. Erickson, our teacher, was in one room, and then we were in the other room all by ourselves because he had to teach both classes. So he trusted me and Chad, and we're sitting in the typing way, and as long as he heard typing, he didn't come in the room. And if he ever got suspicious, all right, we're going to do a test. I'm like, sure, go for it. And 72 words a minute, no big deal. Boom. I actually got up over 90. So I was good at typing, but here's the thing. He had the fancy newest of the new typewriters, and if you push the button really, really fast and then stop, it would have to catch up. And so we were seeing how long we could get it to go after we stopped. So Chad and I were like, okay, stop. 7 seconds. Woo, new record. I can do better. Ooh, 8 seconds. I don't remember. I think our record was like 12 seconds. It was like crazy. And we thought we had it made because he could hear typing and we were having fun. So what could go wrong? I remember I was really into it. What are you doing? And he's standing right there. I'm like, oh. Sorry. Kevin, I'm so shocked at you. I can't believe you. I was a good kid. Yeah, it was. Thank you for that. So typewriters, they're not really going anymore. We don't need them, right? You ever hear of Blockbuster? There used to be a Blockbuster on every corner of every somewhat even small to mid-sized towns and, of course, the big towns. You ever hear of a bag phone? You know, now we're really getting into some really cool technology. I still remember my dad being so mad when this bag phone wouldn't work anymore. It was the end of the world. All the farmers loved those bag phones, man. They had great reach. That phone will never be, no, they'll never beat this phone. iPods. Who would have thought iPods aren't even needed anymore? What's an iPod? I mean, that's cutting technology. Really? Not anymore. Everybody's got a smartphone. Who needs an iPod? Who needs computers, for that matter? How about the current model of church? Are we a little bit more like a typewriter than the latest technology? Yeah. Church has become so irrelevant in our culture today. Maybe it's not that God is no longer relevant. Maybe it's the way we worship God that's becoming irrelevant. Maybe it's the way we do church that's the problem, not the church itself. And so I'm being challenged by the Holy Spirit to think outside the box. That's why we took a step of faith and started Dinner Church. And I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad we have such awesome volunteers willing to give of their time to put together food and to serve, to make sure that there's a meal and that people experience God's love every week. What an amazing group we have that have given of themselves to make it happen. I don't believe that's the end of the challenge. I believe it's just the beginning. Now, let's talk about the good news. Church B&B, well, maybe it's a little bit more of a hybrid. Maybe we should be looking at a different way of doing church through the week, but we still have the blessing of coming together in a gathering. So look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is the coming together of fellowship with God, that all people can come into the holy place of God. All people, not just the high priest, goes into the Holy of Holies, but we, literally through the sacrifice and the blood of Christ, which we are celebrating this week, is the way that we can have fellowship with him. Let us hold for the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's a great passage of Scripture about how we are united with God through his Holy Spirit, but that's not the end of the lesson. It continues to verse 24, and it says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. In other words, you cannot successfully have church without your brother and sister in Christ. I don't care what you say, you can have your time with God and your alone time, and that is good, but you still need the fellowship of God's people. You still need to come together to be encouraged, to have your faith stirred up, and to be challenged. Verse 25 clarifies, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In other words, I need you in my life. I need this fellowship of love and celebration of faith. I need the encouragement that you give and the challenging of the lessons of God that the Holy Spirit inspires you to say and speak into my life, just as you need that for your life from me. We need each other. Let us not forsake the coming together. And so I believe God is going to challenge us to do something outside the box when it comes to our living life together. It may look like a home church kind of setting. It may look like something different than you've ever done. And it's going to be a welcoming celebration for the lost to come in a home and hear the gospel, to hear the love of Jesus Christ, and born-again experiences will happen in the home, not at this altar. Not to say that it can't happen at this altar, because it can and it will. But most will happen outside of this building. Why? Because you are the church, and you are bringing the church to the people of whom you love and live with every day of your life. And what do we get to do on Sunday morning? We celebrate what God has done this week. That's what I believe we're going to do. We're going to get stirred up with good lessons and encouragement, fellowship and worship together. We're going to have a hallelujah time and go back into this world and be the church. And to love people right where they are. And every time you break bread, it's a celebration of his suffering and his sacrifice. Every time you break bread around the table, it's remembering what Jesus has done. Every time you have any gathering of people around the food and around the table, you're recognizing the sacrifice of God and the Father and his love for you. Because that's what we do. We're the church. I don't have it all figured out. And honestly, I can't tell you how many times I've stepped out not knowing where my foot was going to land. Just knowing that God said to step. And so I'm stepping. We must draw near to God. We must enter the holy place through Christ. We must continue to meet to spur each other on in the faith. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 11 through 17. This is good news. Here, there is not Greek and Jew. Circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all in all. Isn't that a great word? You and I are the same. We are all in all through Christ. Yeah, I've got an ancestry. I think I have some German blood. I know I've got Irish and Dutch blood. I think I have some English blood in me. But that's not me. I am a follower of Christ. It is Christ who is in me that counts. You are the same. You have a background, you have an ancestry, you have a personality, but we are all in all through Christ. All right, where did I leave off? Verse 11 I read. So then we get to verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, take him to court. No. What? Oh, it's dun-dun-dun, the people's court. Dun-dun-dun-dun. I like the original. Anybody think the original was the best? That's just saying we're old, by the way. No, you don't take them to court. You forgive. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Aw. Everybody go, aw. You mean I can't be mad and offended? No, you're dead. You're dead now. You can't be offended. It's impossible to offend a dead person. And above all, verse 14, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And I put these verses here for this reason. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We can worship and sing together. It's part of the coming together of the followers of Christ, you, this great family of God. And it's wonderful to be the church and sing of our faithfulness and our love. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, gatherings are biblical. So I think it's okay that we come together on Sunday. But I think it's even more okay that we have church through the week as well. Because we are the church. How can you not be the church? How can you stop being the church? You can't. And yet we have this concept of this is church and that's living out in the world. No, how about you are the church and everywhere you go is church? I mean, that's radical, but life-changing. God is going to lead us to a place where it's uncomfortable and wonderful at the same time. And I do. I expect to see new believers coming out of the woodwork because of your faithfulness to have fellowships in your home and gathering of God's people and inviting the lost and the hurting to experience the love of God and hear the word of God expressed. And you will be the greatest evangelist, missionary, preacher, teacher in this entire community to that friend of yours that just got saved. And we're going to live by faith. Going back to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll close our thoughts with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere, or preserve their souls. Of those who have faith and preserve their souls. In other words, there's no shrinking back. We're going to be men and women of courage, without fear, without excuse. Together, somehow, some way, God is going to lead us to places that are glorious and uncomfortable and so worth every moment. Because we love people. We love enough to give of ourselves to see that others will know that same love. And we will do so by living by faith. God is leading us towards a new way of being the church. I believe this. I don't think it's just us. I believe it's happening all across the world. I had a great conversation a few weeks back, with Pastor Phil from the Alliance Church. And I need to have a follow-up conversation because following one of our board meetings, we talked about how can we be a church that can just help people where their needs are. And one of the ideas that came up in that conversation was having a shop where you can just do oil changes, where you can just fix some brakes for somebody that can't afford to get their brakes done. You know, just little simple things where men can step up and do things that they're skilled at, have the tools to do, and no fee, no cost. There's funds that come into it, and we're just blessing people. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, Pastor Phil agrees. It doesn't have to be our thing. What if it's our community thing that the church has come together in? That somehow, some way, we can be a blessing to others through our combined efforts because we love the Lord. And we can see that, oh, this church is doing it, that church isn't. Come to our church. No, how about we're all the church, all the time, everywhere we go? I mean, basically, that's what we're trying to accomplish through our youth ministries, and we call it Common Ground. And it's been very successful. We have usually 80 to 120 students there. Why? Because we are coming together for one simple purpose, to love Jesus Christ in our youth. We can do this. Well, maybe we can do more in the adult world as well. Maybe there's a way that we can come together as the church and be the church outside of the box of what we call the church. and we will not shrink back. When somebody asks you a question about what you know to be the answer is your faith, please don't shrink back. Why do you go to church? Well, the music's good. Please don't come because of that. I mean, if it is or isn't, honestly, I don't care. If you're not here because you love Jesus Christ, then why are you coming? So when somebody says, why do you go to church? Well, because I love the Lord with all my heart. And this is just one place that honors that same faith that I have of God. And it's wonderful to come together with others that love Jesus the way I do. Oh, whoa, that's deep. Yeah, it is. It's life-changing. Would you like to know more about how Jesus changed my life? We don't shrink back. But with boldness and with love, we are the church always. That's my hopes and dreams that God has instilled in my heart. And I don't know what it looks like in the very detailed, practical areas, but I believe God will lead us there. As we are led by the Holy Spirit, our obedience will please Him. Verse 38, my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Let's not shrink back. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? Let's be pleasing to our Lord through our obedience and our courageous hearts. I don't have all the answers of what it looks like, but I do know that God is going to bless our obedience and our faithfulness, and we will see the results that He is calling as we trust in Him. Jesus is coming soon, I believe. All the more, as you see that day approaching, we should be coming together and honoring Him with our obedience. Well, He's coming soon. I believe it's time that we start living like we actually believe it. I know. If you really believe He's coming soon, you'll do everything you can to reach that lost soul that's on your heart right now with the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful that we can honor You with our hearts, with our obedience, listening to Your Holy Spirit to find ways that we can be Your church in a greater way. This is a great place to gather. This is a great place to come together for celebration. This is a great place to come together for lessons and to learn. I don't believe that there's anything that we do on Sunday morning that is displeasing to You. I really don't believe that there's anything that we're doing that's wrong or out of sorts on a Sunday as we express our love and open our hearts to Your truth. I am concerned, Lord, about Monday through Saturday. I'm concerned about what we're doing as a church to be the church outside of this building. Help us. Help us to find our way. Help us, Lord, to find our way in our community, to truly be the church everywhere we go. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know You, I pray, Lord God, call them close to Your heart, that they may know You as I know You, that they'll find the same forgiveness that I have found, that peace and that joy that's beyond anything we can experience in this world without You may be very real as they give their hearts to You. I pray, Lord God, You receive them as Your child, as You receive me. And as we all together rejoice in knowing You, may we live our lives openly, unashamed, boldly but with love, not shrinking back, but being obedient to be Your church in this world. I ask Your anointing and Your blessing to be upon us as we go into our mission field, our communities, and our homes. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Come back next week for a great celebration of Easter. Don't forget about the food prior to the service. Amen.